more lost animals. And then I'm not sure what we'll be doing. I might be doing behavior training and healing questions. We may be talking about other stuff. I don't know. It'll be a surprise. But whatever we do, it'll be fun. I guarantee that. So I hope you'll be here next week. And I guess that's it. That wraps up current events. Helen and Bill Thayer are here. We are going to... And did we get any requests for a different tip, or are we running the summer tip? We're running the summer tip. It will be back, I promise. And we will also be back. We're going to stay right where we are. And we've got another hour with Helen and Bill, more stories. And if you'd like to call us, we'd love to hear from you. 425-373-5527 or 888-298-5569. Animal World continues until noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets. Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KWJZ 98.9 FM, Digital HD3 Seattle.
Hi, this is Martha with Animal World's Tips for Summer, which realistically are probably better labeled Summer Warnings and Precautions. Now, you can't really argue with the fact that summer is a great time of year. With the warm weather and longer days, we spend a lot more time outdoors, and for many of us, much of that time is spent in the garden. Well, if you love your garden and there are animals in your family, there are a few things to be aware of. Most of us know that fertilizers, weed killers, pesticides, and insecticides can be very toxic for our dogs and cats. Fortunately, these days, there are many safe, non-toxic alternatives that are actually better for our environment as well as our animal friends. I hope you'll take the time to find and use them. Hopefully, you also know that traditional slug baits, especially the powdered stuff, is not only highly toxic and will kill dogs and cats, it is also very attractive to them. Slug bait tastes like candy to our dog and cat friends, and most will work hard to get to it. So please be very careful about using and storing it, or better yet, don't even buy that stuff. Now, something you may not know, and I say that because I didn't know until recently, there is a cocoa mulch being sold in our area at familiar stores that is very toxic to animals. It contains theobromine, the same chemical found in chocolate that is poison to dogs and cats. Now, maybe you know about all these things already and would never keep them around your house or use them in your yard. But what about your neighbors? Because you never know what others are doing, I recommend you do not allow your dogs off leash to run through neighbors' yards as you walk through the neighborhood. Not only is keeping them on leash the right thing to do, it also could save their life. Another potential poison for our animal friends is antifreeze. It also tastes like candy to them, and they are highly attracted to it, and unfortunately, it kills quickly. So if you do your own radiator servicing, please be careful handling the antifreeze. After draining, dispose of the contents immediately and responsibly. If you spill any, clean it up right away. Better yet, don't mess with the bad stuff. Spend a little more and use the safe, non-toxic antifreeze. Another summer FYI, mostly for your cat friends, especially those that like to chew on plants. You probably know that some houseplants are toxic, but did you know that some flowers are too? Unfortunate but true, one of my personal favorites comes to mind, lilies. I have them in the yard, but not in my house. If you want more information or a list of toxic plants and flowers, the ASPCA website at www.aspca.org is where to get it. Also, in case of emergency, write this number down, the ASPCA Animal Poison Control Center, 888-426-4435. That's 888-426-4435. Write it down and post it someplace prominent. Finally, what we love the most about summer, the sun, is probably the biggest potential hazard for our animals, especially our dogs. Heat prostration or heat stroke takes the lives of many dogs every summer because their humans aren't thinking. because dogs have a higher body temperature to begin with and cannot sweat off heat like humans. They can seriously overheat much faster than you might think. On a 70-degree day, a car left in the sun, even with windows partially open, can reach a deadly temperature for a dog in only 10 minutes. So my general rule of thumb during the summer, unless you are sure you can park undercover or in the shade, leave the dog at home. Remember, the sun moves, so just because you park in the shade does not mean the car will remain shaded. You will need to check on the car and dog frequently. I suggest every 10 minutes. Now, there may be times that you have no choice but to take your dog with you in the car during hot weather. If that's the case, be wise and be prepared. Take water and a bowl with you, a leash and collar so you can take the dog with you if necessary when you leave the car. And just in case you can't take the dog with you, say you're going into a restaurant, have a crate along. There are collapsible models for easy storage in the car. You can crate the dog in the shade outside of the car. Dogs and other animals can also overheat in a house if they're confined in front of a window and the sun comes through. So pay attention on this one if you're confining a puppy or caring for an elderly, sick, or convalescing animal. Sadly, I had a client years ago that left a paralyzed dog resting comfortably in front of a closed sliding glass door. When the sun came out, the dog could not move away from the window, and when the owner came home, the dog was dead. Please don't let this happen to one of your animal friends, and remember the same is true for birds, small caged animals, and fish. Also, avoid overexerting your animal in hot weather. Exercise is fine when taken in moderation, but obesity, old age, underlying disease, and previous bouts of heat stroke can predispose an animal to the condition. And remember, some dogs don't know when to quit, so you may need to be the wise one and stop the game for rest and cooling off periods. I hope you never need this information, but if you ever find a dog in an overheating situation, here are the important things to do and remember. Be careful and remember to breathe and stay as calm as possible when you handle the animal, especially if they do not know you, as they may be in shock and could bite. Cool them down as soon as possible. Get them into a cooler, well-ventilated area if available. You can put them into a stream or a lake or a bathtub of cool water. Hose them down or soak towels in cold water to lay over them. The biggest danger is the brain overheating, so if resources are limited, put a cold, wet towel on their head first. Call your vet or emergency clinic to let them know you're on the way and get your animal friend there for treatment as soon as possible. Pet owners can be held criminally liable for committing cruelty to animals if a pet dies or is found suffering from heat prostration. If you see an animal that may be in need of assistance, or if you have questions about this kind of situation, you can call the Seattle Animal Shelter at 206-386-PETS. That's 206-386-PETS. Okay, that's it, I hope. What you need to know to keep your animal friends safe this summer. Stay with me now, because Animal World will be right back.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners. Award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off traditional talk radio. Get ready for powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in, and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Listen to the Dr. Pat Show Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to noon on AM 1150, KKNW, and visit thedrpatshow.com.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Now wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue, now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the third hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the Internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got Internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. Now, we are still looking for a winner, I think, for our Robin Alexis Soul Spot giveaway, but I'm not sure. So I guess the question is, Scotty just walked in the room. We do have a winner. We haven't heard from last week, right? Okay. All right. Well, congratulations. We do have Robin Soul Spa winner, Linda Robertson. And congratulations. Oh, Linda, huh? We're keeping it in the family. That's nice. And congratulations. I know you will enjoy it. It's fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. And we are still looking for last week's winner, Suzanne, because all of the contact information she gave us did not work. So she needs to, Suzanne Baybura, if you are listening or someone you know is listening, you need to call us if you would like the prize you won last week. There we go. All right. It is a Helen and Bill Sunday here. Helen and Bill Thayer are here, adventure travelers. We're telling stories, and we are going to continue to tell stories. But if you would like to talk to Helen, and Bill's in the background, you just know he's always here. He just never speaks.
It's probably silent Pat.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's good, though, because you have a and I've got a...
I'm the noisy one.
Yeah, yeah.
We need one noisy man, one in the family.
So we would, if you would like to ask Helen and Bill about any of their treks or whatever, if you've got a comment, if you just want to thank them for the wonderful work they're doing, we'd be delighted to hear from you, and we will entertain your phone calls throughout the rest of the show. The local number is 425-373-5527. Toll free is 1-888-298-5569. That's 888-298-5569. All righty then. I think we can get back to our stories. And I have to say, you guys, even though it's 72 and 83 and you never know it, and you've got mom home taking care of the farm when you're off trucking at 91, man, you guys have good genetics. But you don't stay idle. I mean, I think the term, you know, use it or lose it comes in. You stay very active. And you talked early in the show about you have a gym at home, mm-hmm. So you work out a lot.
Yes, we have our own gym at home, and our 12 acres is very, very hilly property.
Yeah, it is. So I know that now.
Yeah, you know that now. And so we're able to work the hills for training. And also, of course, we're in the foothills of the Cascade Mountains, and we consider ourselves very fortunate to be there, because it's not long before we can be at a trailhead and we can go high up into the mountains on the more difficult trails. We don't really do the lower, shorter trails. We go up high. And
and get this, we talked about the fact that I did a private session with them this last week, so we had some phone calls back and forth setting up that appointment, and Helen says to me, well, I think it was the day before we were confirming and time and all that. She said, oh, well, you know, Bill, we just went out and took a little hike up the mountain, 8 miles. It's like, what?
Sometimes we do more, sometimes 10, 15 miles. It depends on
it is going little trail. Mountain hikes. And now you said, let's see, that Bill always leads on the way down.
Yeah, and I lead on the way up. He says I'm the powertrain going up, and he's the swifty going down.
Yeah, because he walks faster than you going down,
yeah,
you said.
He's quick at going down. And I work to keep up with him going down. He works to keep up with me going up. That's the way we can keep up good speed, a good training speed. And and, you know, sort of get to where we want to go.
And you have said a number of times, I mean, you and Bill really have such a strong connection. It was such a wonderful love story when the crop pilot steals the farmer's daughter off the farm, and happily ever after, almost 50 years later, and you guys are doing such phenomenal work. But I know you've shared with me before that the two of you have such an in-tune relationship that you really don't have to speak to each other. And you go off in the middle of nowhere, and these life and death situations come up that you just know.
Yeah, it's when we're away on an expedition, for instance, we were up on the polar ice cap on the way to the pole, and it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. We had to cross some very, very difficult ice, and there was nowhere to stop to put our tent up because it was too rough. There's nothing smooth enough to take a tent.
Okay, so we have you and Bill, and now and we have Charlie Wolf Dog.
No, this was
Charlie.
Bill and I went to celebrate our 30th anniversary. We went together.
To your 30th anniversary at the North Pole?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
We celebrate our 40th anniversary in the middle of the Gobi Desert, so we're not too sure where we're going to be on our 50th yet. That'll be next year, so we'll see. We're still figuring that one out.
Okay. The two of you, and you each have those big sleds?
Yeah, we're pulling big
160
sleds
pounds or something again each? All right, so what happened?
And so we had to find a place to put the tent up, and the ice was so rough there was nowhere. So now it was dark, and the wind was just very, very strong. And finally, at about 2 o'clock in the morning, we find an area that will take a tent. It's flat enough for a tent. Well, the wind was so strong, we couldn't put the tent up in the normal way. One of us had to lay across the tent, all spread-eagled out, to keep the thing down. The other one had to put the ice screws in around the edge.
So this is, you're on the ice, and you have to lay, one of you has to spread-eagle on the tent to keep it from blowing away while the other screws
That's
in the
right.
ice cues, screws? Wow.
We're 2 o'clock in the morning, we're really having fun at this time. And so then but we did it all without having to say anything because we knew what each other should do. You know, one puts the ice screws in, one holds the tent down, and then the other goes then and gets the guy wires and puts them up, and then you throw the sleeping bags in, you get in, and this sort of thing. Everything was done basically with nothing having to be said because we knew what needed to be done. We work so well together all the time. We don't have to have conversation. We just do it, and it gets done.
Wow.
Now,
wow.
It happens. It's happened over and over again over the years and in various situations.
And I think you had, didn't you have a similar situation? I was thinking about where you almost fell in with Charlie. And I thought that there was a similar situation that you and Bill had, where you really had to collect your stuff fast and get the heck off the ice and stuff.
Yes, we've had that happen once or twice, a few times. Sometimes there was once a big ice break came through. This happens when there's a storm. It might not be a storm right in your area, but it can be a storm several miles away in the ice. And this is on the Arctic Ocean, and it can start breaking the ice up, and then it's sort of like a continued action reaction throughout the ice pack, the ice is all breaking up into small pieces.
And it's like a chain domino effect.
It sounds like a freight train coming at you. You can hear it coming.
Oh, you can hear it.
So then, you know, there's one occasion, especially we had to get out of there fast, or we would have been ground up into little pieces too. So we ran as fast as we could, jumping over leads of water, jumping in and just getting away. But again, you do it without having to say to each other, what do we do now? We just know what we do, and we go together.
From the background.
Yeah,
that was when you were up with the wolves.
With the wolves. Okay. And the second part of the wolf study, because we're with wolves 1 year, and we're with one wolf pack for spring, summer, and fall. Mm-hmm. Then we went up to the northern coast of Canada and out onto the polar ice cap to study wolves and their relationship with the polar bears and what was going on there. And that's when that happened then. Yeah, Bill was right, yeah.
All right. Okay, well, we are going to take care of our advertisers and sponsors for the first time in this hour, and then Carlene's calling in and wants to talk to you. So we'll go to the phones right after that, so stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150, and if you would like to talk to Helen and Bill Thayer, 425-373-5527 or 888-298-5569.
We'll be right back.
Hey, since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend. And Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they could easily answer all of your questions. Now, you'll find it's always worth a trip to Jones & Company. Go to the Animal World website, MarthaNorwalk.com. Click on the Jones & Company logo on the home page. That'll take you to their website, and you can find out everything that's on sale. Then you'll know it's worth a trip to Jones & Company. You'll find them on State Street in Marysville. And when you get there, be sure you sign up for their preferred customer club. You get a card. It keeps track of what you spend. You get discounts along the way, and you get free dry food and free canned food along the way as well. So check it out, Jones & Company Pets in Marysville. Give them a call at 360-658-7817. That's 360-658-7817. At Jones & Company Pets, their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets.
Call karma specialist and metaphysical mother Robin Alexis for your free on-air readings Wednesdays at 12 noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Psychic medium Robin Alexis helps countless people to live fuller and more conscious lives on Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis. Call Wednesdays for your free on-air readings and hear rebroadcasts of Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis Thursdays at 8 p.m. And check out Robin's Soul Spa at robinalexis.com.
Massage is good for everyone, including your pets. Learn animal massage close to home at the Northwest School of Animal Massage.
Teaching pet owners and horse owners since 2001, the Northwest School of Animal Massage offers flexible online and hands-on classes, including three distinct certification courses in animal massage. Short workshops in animal massage and other related topics are also available.
For more information, go to nwsam.com or call 877-836-3703. Locally, call 425-222-3703. That's 425-222-3703. Go online to nwsam.com for registration details.
Urine contamination is a common and stubborn problem. Conventional cleaning methods are not the answer. Anti-Icky Poo works quickly and naturally, and it's my all-time absolute favorite odor neutralizer. This unique bacteria enzyme solution converts the waste directly into carbon dioxide, a safe and odorless gas found in everyday clean air. Ask your vet for Anti-Icky Poo or call 1-800-745-1671. Anti-Icky Poo, it's a serious product with a funny name that really works, especially on cat urine. 1-800-745-1671.
Did you know that Invisible Fence Northwest, well known for keeping dogs safe, now leads the nation in cat safety solutions? More than 2,200 local felines are finding safe freedom with Invisible Fence Northwest. Keep your cat from darting out the front door or safe within your yard, off furniture and counters, or out of bedrooms and kitchens. Their safe, gentle, and humane methods allow cats to discover boundaries on their own terms. Go to InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENC and save $200. Just tell them Martha sent you.
Spread the word. You don't have to settle for the usual talk radio. Now there's Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey y'all, Martha Norwalk, and we're in the last hour of this week's edition of Animal World, but you can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And along with the pigs and the elephants and everything else in the studio, our favorite and most popular guests are here today, Helen and Bill Thayer, adventure travelers, and we've been talking a little bit about some of the highlights of some of their bigger treks. We'll do more of that, but phone calls always take priority. If you would like to speak with Helen and Bill in the background. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you get to speak to Scotty first, and he's always fun to talk to. So you can give us a call at 425-373-5527 or 888-298-5569. First up, we are going to Seattle and talking to one of our regulars here on Animal World. Carlene is with us. Good morning, Carlene.
Hello, good morning, and good morning, Helen and Bill. I'm so pleased and so grateful to have an opportunity.
Well, now that I got you on the phone, Carlene, though, I'm going to ask you a question first.
Okay.
Because I think I remember when Invisible Fence was on and Rebecca was, Murray was so generous in donating Mariner tickets, I think you won them, didn't you?
I sure did.
Did you enjoy the game?
I enjoyed it, even though the Mariners lost. I had such a good time.
All right. Very good.
I truly did. But listen, Martha, I have a competing best good news item that I heard this week, and
yeah.
I think you'd all like to hear this.
Okay. What is that?
Well, in Spain, a region called Catalonia in Spain is the first.
Oops. Well, I guess we'll have to wait for the good news about whatever's going on in Spain, because Carlene just dropped off. And who knows whose phone or what was going on. I did hear stuff in the background. But she will call us back, I'm sure, as soon as she gets to a working phone, and we'll find out. And I think I know what she was calling about, because she told Scotty and he typed it in for me. But if her phone isn't working, she may not be listening. She's probably trying to get to make the call. So I think I won't ask her question, so she won't miss the answer. We'll just continue until she calls us back. At any rate, if you want to participate, 425-373-5527 or 888-298-5569. And so let's see. We were you were with the wolves up in Alaska when we left, and not falling into the drink, and you have had so many harrowing experiences. I know we mentioned it briefly earlier, because we were talking about when you guys did the walk across the Gobi Desert.
Mm-hmm.
Very few people, I think, have ever done that, and it took a lot for you to get permission from the government to do it, because
so far we're the only man and woman to have walked that entire distance of the Gobi.
Oh, well, see, that makes it easy. No one's ever done it but Helen and Bill. No one is that nuts.
Yeah, that's what we always say. Everybody else had the common sense to stay home.
Well, exactly. And, okay, so no one's ever done that trek,
right,
other than the two of you,
mm-hmm,
and survived.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a Gobi bear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is very, very rare.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe there's like 30 of them on the planet or
yes,
something, do you know?
The last count, they thought there might be as many as 35, but they weren't sure. There could be far fewer than that. They're definitely on their way out.
So you and Bill are one of the few humans on the planet, mm-hmm, that actually had eyeballs on a Gobi, mm-hmm, bear.
Yes, he's about 200 yards in front of us. Because of the wind direction, he hadn't caught our scent.
Mm-hmm.
And he was traveling north to south. We were traveling west to east, and there he was. We just came just over a little dip, and there he was walking. And they're beautiful. They're a small bear standing up on his back feet. I would say he'd probably be no more than about 4 feet. 4 feet, maybe if he's really stretched, he might be 5 feet high, but not really. They're quite small, but beautiful chocolate brown fur,
mm-hmm,
But then he suddenly saw us and took off. But we had a good look at him. But it was just really amazing. And the reason we saw him was because we were on foot, rather a silent mode of travel. And if we'd been in a vehicle or something like that, then he would have been warned, and we wouldn't have had this experience. But it was an amazing thing.
Wow.
But it's such a shame to think that there are so few of these animals left, and they probably will, at the rate things are going, probably will become extinct. Because Mongolia has no money to protect them, and they did have a feeding program at one time, but there's no money for that, and there's a lot of poaching, because it's very close to the Chinese
border. Now, we talked about part of the reason the government didn't want you making this trek is because people have died,
yes,
trying, and you became eventually the first humans ever to do that.
Yeah.
But you came very close to not surviving this trek? Because happened with the water. Remind, what happened with your water?
We took two camels. We led two camels.
Tom and Jerry.
Yeah, we walked all the way and leading Tom and Jerry. One carried the water, one carried the food and equipment, and we alternated them from day to day so that one would have a heavy load one day, a light load the next day. And so this one day, one of them seemed to be very upset to this load. So we stopped and adjusted everything. And, of course, when a camel is upset, he sits and he bellows.
Oh, that's what they do?
And
okay.
It's just really, just about. Just
so you've got a belly-aching camel on your hands,
and,
huh?
And it's a loud, loud, just about burst your eardrums, at least you think it's going to. And so everything seemed to be fine. So then we continued on, and all of a sudden he rolled on his load, on the load of water, and split the containers open.
That's
so now we raced to get whatever water we could, but, you know, it just gushed out and, of course, disappeared into that thirsty desert soil in next to no time. So then we were in real trouble. We actually had 5 gallons on the other camel as an emergency ration, but we had we were being resupplied with water every 20 days, but we still had 9 days to go.
9 days to go and you only had 5 gallons of water?
And we were drinking 1.5 gallons a day each. And so, and not hardly keeping up with our real needs at that rate. So we quickly cut back our water supply and then thinking, well, you know, just having faith that there was water ahead, some kind of water, a well of some kind, or maybe a salty, sometimes you find a salty tiny lake of some kind in the desert. So off we went, and of course the days went by with no water, and we were getting cutting our rations down less and less and getting way behind on our hydration needs. We're getting severely dehydrated by this time.
And that's a really, you suffer when become dehydrated.
You just never want to die of thirst. It's a terrible way to die. We had tremendous headaches that you couldn't believe. Felt like somebody was pounding our heads with a hammer. We were getting dizzy and very nauseous, of course, and then finally on, by day 7, we were now down to we drank our last few drops of water that morning, knowing full well there would be no, if we didn't find water now, there'd be no day 8. And we could
You couldn't make it the next 2 days until the resupply came.
There was no way.
You'd have been dead.
Because on day 7, we were almost done. We could hardly talk to each other. Our mouths were so dry. Our lips and our tongues were split. And we had terrible aches in our kidney area because we were so dehydrated.
Oh, my.
And the heads just were pounding and dizzy, nauseous, and we could hardly walk. We had to hang on to the camels and just sort of stagger along at the side of the camels. And so very late that afternoon, we thought we saw a glimmer of water in the distance. We thought, oh, boy, if this is another mirage, we're done.
So mirages really happen.
Oh, yeah. Mirages are not a figment of the imagination. It's the light reflected from the sun to the earth and then the reflection of the sky. On the earth.
So it's a real thing.
And it's the way the light waves bend and so forth. But it turned out to be a very small, salty lake about 6 inches deep, but very salty and absolutely filthy beyond belief. But we had a desalinization unit. It weighs about 2 pounds.
Oh, and, you thought to bring one along,
Yeah, it's the best $500 we've ever spent in our life.
Well, it saved your lives.
And so we pumped away. And we're able to get enough water to drink. Of course, we gulped it down, which we knew was a mistake, but you can't help it.
Oh, okay.
And because we just vomited that right up because you can't hold it down. So then we sipped away, sipped a bit. And the camels were fine. They can go a long time without water, but not we humans. And
you couldn't.
At those temperatures, we were just simply dehydrating away. And it was.
Well, thank goodness. So see, it wasn't your time. So.
No.
Oh, my.
So we got out of that one.
All right. Looks like Carlene is back. So let's find out the rest of the good news and what's going on. Hey, Carlene.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. I'm so mortified. I'm so apologetic.
Oh, that's all right. We just carried on without you. But you left us in Spain with some good news.
Yes. The good news is that a region in Spain called Catalonia has just totally banned bullfighting.
Yay!
Yes,
that is good
it's
news.
It's the first area in Spain, and it has caused an uproar.
in Spain. The whole culture of Spain is you know, is kind of rotates around this this artifact of bullfighting, and all the other you know, cultural entities that are you know, in that in pro bullfighting, they're just in an uproar about it. But the Catalonians are, I guess, a slightly different cultural mix of people, and they wanted to stand up for what they felt was the right thing to do. So,
well, bless their hearts.
Right. No,
that's
more bullfighting.
Time. Yeah, that's very good.
Yes, I know. I was so happy about it, but I didn't know if you'd seen it in the paper, if it had been published in the Seattle Times or not. But
no, I didn't see it, so I'm glad you called in with that. That's great, good news. So now you want
to
talk to Helen?
I sure do. I could talk to Helen and Bill for hours and hours and hours. Helen, I have listened to you ever since you've been on Martha's show, and I've always just been enthralled.
Well, thank you.
I'm just so tickled to be able to speak with you, and I was wondering if you could speak about a couple of different aspects of your work. When you do the adventure classroom, I'm sure you get a lot of responses from a lot of the children of all different ages, and I wondered if you could speak to us about some of the wonderful emails and comments that you receive from the kids, maybe some questions or maybe some very innocent confusion that they have about the world, the real world, and how it works.
Well, when I speak to the kids, I emphasize the need to set goals, plan for success, be persistent, solve the problems, don't give up on yourself, and don't give up on your goal. And over the years, I've had so many messages back, in one form or another, saying, you know, for instance, parents will say it's the first time Johnny's really set a goal in his life, or wow, it's the first time Susie ever read a book right through. And now my kids talking about setting goals and talking about their future in a positive way. So we get this sort of feedback has been continuous throughout the years, and then I'm a school project for many kids. They have me as their explorer in a classroom project, and so they ask all sorts of questions concerning that. But I get a lot of questions, very simple ones. How do you set a goal? And so I sit down and I write out. I don't have a set answer. I write out, you know, each time I answer a kid is a little different, and I try to explain what it was like when I was a kid and I first started setting goals, and what it felt like when I achieved my first goal, and how that made it easier for me to go on and set more goals and achieve more goals, and how it becomes a pattern in life. But I get good response from the kids as well, students of all ages, even the college kids as well. They will email me after I've spoken to them, and also the parents. I think that's one of the encouraging things, is the parents will say, thank you for coming to the school. My kid is doing such and such that they never did before. Even one mother was so delighted not long ago, she emailed me and said, thank goodness my child heard you in school, because now they know that they need to clean their room. That is a new goal. They're actually doing it. So right, the day-to-day thing.
Okay, all you parents, the kids with dirty rooms, and so I guess that's what you need to get Adventure Classroom with Helen into your school to motivate the kids.
Just never know where your advice is going to go.
Yeah. All right, Carly, what else do you want to know?
Yeah, I concerning some of your travels, especially the ones that you've been doing recently, my question involves some of the indigenous populations, some of the people that you are visiting and who are taking you, guiding you through areas where they feel that you need to have an escort.
You're talking about the trips to Africa lately?
Yeah, there was one trip that you took where I know that they requested that they bring along a guide to protect you.
In Africa, we, of course, it's ridiculous if you think you can walk out among a pride of lions and hyenas and so forth and expect to survive. You wouldn't last very long. And the government, of course, of these countries forbid foreigners to do that anyway, which is smart. You don't want to do it anyway.
Right, right.
And so when we lived, for instance, when we lived with the Maasai tribe for a month, some of the Maasai warriors would escort us from village to village. And it was a tremendous education for us because this way we could learn from them, and we were actually able to go very, very close to, for instance, a pride of 14 lions. We went very close to them because the warriors knew that they instinctively know what these animals are going to do. Mm. And so they say, okay, it's okay to go close here. But then you might come to another...
Well, they're reading the body language, aren't they? They're reading the body language.
And not only body language, but there's an intuitive feeling goes
on. Yeah, they're feeling their way through,
and
Carly.
And then we began to, you know, we picked up on this ourselves because we are very close to our animals here, and we picked up on this ourselves. And then there'll be another lion perhaps over there. No, we don't go near that one. We go way, way around that one. And so that was, and of course, we normally don't have guides on our expeditions, but in
right.
Africa, we need them to be able to walk from A to B to get through these animals. Plus, it's a great learning experience just to go out, for instance, with the Bushmen, when we live with them for a month, we go out hunting with them, although we're not hunters by any stretch of the imagination. It was interesting to go out with them and watch them see things, a little bird in the tree that was so far away we couldn't see it, even though we both got very good eyesight. And they would know where the animals are and what's going on. They taught us to walk through the forest so that we wouldn't be heard. And because when they walk through the forest, you can't hear them at all. Whereas we were floundering along, we sounded like elephants compared to them, and we were so embarrassed. And because in our Western way, we don't know too much when we get among these people.
Well, now I'm curious, when they were teaching you how to walk silently,
they just show you how to put your feet.
What did they show you?
Well, you don't slap your foot down, and you don't necessarily go heel and toe. You might put your foot down, the ball of the foot down, not on tippy toe. The foot.
So they actually taught you how to walk differently.
Yes, to be silent with the animals, and so in having these people escort us through these places, they could teach us how they do it. And it's a huge. We just come away from these people respecting their cultures so much. They have so much knowledge that we have lost over the generations, and they've held on to this knowledge because they must in order to survive. And it's a tremendous experience.
Helen,
it's very humbling.
Helen, mm-hmm. Let me try in the best way I know how to ask you this. My question that refers. Or that relates to the culture of the people and global warming. And I'm wondering if some of the indigenous groups that you have been spending time with and that you will be spending time with on your return trip to Africa, if you're going to or you have been able to ascertain the effects on the tribal communities of global warming as it relates to the herders, as it relates to the pharmacopoeia of the mm-hmm. health, the medicines that the people find in their surroundings, because they know this land, and if the land is changing, what impact is that having on the people, on these smaller communities around the world who are so dependent
Helen, because you've been to Africa twice now, recently, right?
Yeah, we've been there several times.
Several times.
And China and other places,
yeah, so
too.
So are you noticing, with climate change?
One good example, I think, is a Berber tribe in northern Africa on the western side of the Sahara Desert. They're basically within the shadow of the Atlas Mountains. The Atlas Mountains normally get a lot of snow in the winter that will melt and drift down. The water will drain down into the ground, into the aquifers. And these people can dig a shallow well and get water.
Mm-hmm.
But now, with global warming, there's not very much snow coming down in the Atlas Mountains, therefore not much snow melt. therefore the aquifers are basically drying up. Mm. Now, these people, several hundred of them, are in the process of moving away from that area. They cannot inhabit that area anymore because there is no water. It's dry. It's done. And then, of course, you go north to Alaska and northern Canada.
Right,
Tundra is beginning, the permafrost is beginning to melt, and buildings and roads are tilting at odd angles, breaking up, cracking. The caribou population that many of these tribes in the north depend upon for sustenance existence are changing routes because of global warming. The animals are behaving in a different way.
Their migrational routes are changing.
Many of these animals, there's not as many of them as there were, and so these people are not able to hunt in the way that they used to be able to. And, of course, the Inuit in the far north, who are sea hunters, they have to go out on the ice on the Arctic Ocean, the frozen Arctic Ocean. That's a platform for them to hunt seals and other Arctic animals. That platform is disappearing. So they're having problems going out and doing this. Plus, the villages in northern Canada and Alaska on the coastline are going to have to be moved back because they're being inundated with the ocean, because now the ocean level is rising.
It's rising, yeah.
And now that the ice cap is disappearing, when there's a storm at sea close to the coast, the waves and so forth can crash on shore. And, of course, many of these villages are only 2 or 3 feet in elevation above sea level. So without the ice to hold those waves back and keep them down, so to speak, then they crash ashore, and there you have storms coming right up against the buildings, and big chunks of ice will even come right up and pile up against buildings. So they have to all move back. So and down in the Pantanal in the Amazon, where farmers have been ranching and raising cattle, in this great world's largest swampland, they've drained it and so forth. But now it's returning to a very dry, sort of desert-like place. And they're afraid that the cattle ranching there is going to be done. Mm. So people are being affected all over the world by this global warming, and right from the top to the bottom of the world.
Yeah. All right, Carlene, thanks so much for your great questions and input today. I'm going to let you go because we've got to take care of our advertisers and sponsors for the last time in this hour. And then, of course, we want to find out what Helen and Bill are up to now and what you're prepping for in the next trip and what you're going to be doing in Africa, all that good stuff. So stay with us. We'll find all of that out right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
This new year, give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, a strong immune system, and a healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Go to NuProSupplements.com for more information. That's NuProSupplements.com.
The Gary Mance Show. It's the home of mastery and mystery.
Sacred places, psychic cases, and friendly faces. 3 hours of mastery and mystery on Sunday.
At 7 p.m., paranormal adventurer Hillary Ramo takes us to sacred sites around the world.
And at 8 o'clock, meet licensed private investigator Shelley Hale, who uses her psychic gifts to solve cases.
And the party goes on at 9 p.m. when we are joined in studio by Bev Bryan and Dina Marie, giving tandem readings.
The Gary Mance Show, Sunday at 7 p.m. Pacific.
The latest must-have for dog owners is a custom-made Breeze Guard, a powder-coated welded wire mesh screen that quickly and easily fits into your car's windows. Breeze Guards keeps your dog in the car with the windows open, keeps strangers' hands out of the vehicle, and gives you peace of mind that your dog is safe and happy in your car, parked or moving. Go to muttmanagers.com for complete product details and information on ordering Breeze Guards. Your dog will love you for this. Check out muttmanagers.com.
Karma specialist and founder of Metaphysical Mothering, Robin Alexis, is nurturing, powerful, and phenomenally gifted. Her books and personal one-on-one phone sessions can change your life forever. And now she's channeled the Mary Magdalene Reiki Healing Energy Portal. Learn about this membership and how to get exclusive contact with her at her website, robinalexis.com. Robin invites you to register for her weekly newsletter and share your comments and experiences in her blog and forum with her and other community members at robinalexis.com. Robin uses her ability as a medical intuitive and a metaphysical healer to assist you in removing blockages so you can experience life more fully. She is a medium, and she can talk to your spirit guides and angels, and she's adept at doing all this over the phone and through the website at robinalexis.com. You can call her for a private session at 360-457-2993, and you can email her at robin@robinalexis.com.
Write it down, shout it loud. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. Now, wasn't that fun?
Hey y'all, Martha Norwalk, and we are winding down this week's edition of Animal World, but you can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And Helen and I and Bill, we were just chatting off the air here about the horrendous practice of bullfighting and how pleased we are that that area in Spain, Catalonia, that has banned bullfighting altogether, and more power to them.
Imagine it's taken a lot of courage for those people to do that.
Yeah, yeah. I know I had the opportunity to attend bullfights in Mexico when I was there, and I refused to go. You said you and Bill went for the experience, and you filmed it all, but you haven't even ever, in all these years, you've never looked at those films.
No, we couldn't. It was just the most awful 4 hours we've spent. It was, we were nervous wrecks by the time it was over, and we just hung in there just for the experience, just one of those life's experiences, but it was horrible.
Yeah, it's a practice that needs to go bye-bye.
It does.
Yeah, and just because it's a tradition doesn't make it good or right.
No.
And that applies to a lot of things that we all do all over the planet.
With the education that's available now and the knowledge we have about animals, they do have feelings and emotions. And
we have to be more responsible humans, and we need to incorporate more of our spirit.
We can't.
And you have to get our hearts open, because if the heart's open, you can't do this kind of stuff.
You can't treat animals as if they're just a thing. They're not a thing. They're far, far more than that.
Yeah, yeah. So let's get back to now. The last few trips you've done in Africa have been specifically going out into the deserts and living with these tribes of indigenous
Well, we've not only gone into the deserts, we've gone into the savannah, like the Serengeti, and places like that. We had special permission to walk across the Ngorongoro crater, which is a big no-no, but we had
but you got to do it
because we're doing it for an educational program. And on that occasion, we were accompanied by a ranger, because it's a big national park, of course, a ranger with an AK-47.
Ah!
That was a different experience. But he was a Maasai, a Maasai ranger, and he had a lot to teach us also. Fortunately, he didn't have to use his AK-47, so that made us feel good. We were going back in November to live with another tribe. They're a fishing tribe up close to Lake Victoria, on the shores of Lake Victoria in northern Tanzania. And then we would like to go to Mali and go out of Timbuktu to the salt mines.
But there really is a Timbuktu?
Oh, yes, there really is.
There really is. Wow.
Dusty place.
Well, Scotty's not in his head. He knows there's a Timbuktu.
Yeah. And it's a dusty, dusty place.
I guess I didn't ever really know there really was a Timbuktu.
It doesn't have the glory of its glorious days, but it's Timbuktu. But there are a walk of about 350 miles away from there will take us to salt mines. And it's really interesting. It's very, very basic salt mining where people lead a terribly difficult life there, and we want to go there and see what that life is really like and perhaps experience some of it for ourselves.
Cool.
So those are some of the things. And we would like to go back into Western Sahara. The problem is it's a lot of landmines there now, so we need to find the area where we'd be a bit safer. So it's a lot of places
We want you to stay away from landmines and
stuff. Yeah, landmines are not pretty things.
Now, on this trek in November, will you be doing, like, long-distance treks and so forth?
We go into one part of Lake Victoria, and then the tribes are around the lake, so we will be walking around all the way around the Tanzanian side of the lake, And so we'll probably cover 500 to 600 miles.
It's just a little 400-500-600-mile walk.
And just going from one family to another. And
now, will you have a guide with you, or will you be on your own, or do you know?
We have an African contact. What we do is we decide what we want to do in Africa. Mm-hmm. And he is Tanzanian, actually, a very, very gifted man, a naturalist and a biologist and all those things. And so he will set up, he will go into the area where that particular tribe is, and he'll set up a relationship, and he'll explain to him why, because the tribes we live with are tribes who do not want foreigners among them at all. They want to be, they don't want tourists anywhere near them. And so, of course, we're way off the tourist route, way, way deep into tribal country. So he sets up a relationship, explains who we are, why we're there, and our age. Because age is very important. They respect their elders. Everyone, all these tribes, everywhere we've gone, respect us as very.
And didn't that save you in the Mongolian desert and the Chinese border when they were going to shoot you as thieves?
Yes.
You pulled the elder card on them, didn't you?
We pull it for all we can when we have to, and it really.
But you
works.
Got after one of those guards or something.
Yes.
You
quite disrespectful, so we had to remind him.
Can you imagine that, folks? You're on the border of Mongolia and China. They're getting ready to shoot you, and she pulls the age card. You need to respect your elders, young man.
I had to inform him of his manners because he was only in his 30s, and we were now. I was a whole 63.
But it worked, didn't it?
Yes,
it got you.
We became his instant friend, and we remembered his manners. And so we will go. He sets it up, and then we have the permission, and then we go.
No joking aside. He makes sure that these people know your ages because that does make them.
Otherwise, we wouldn't get in.
They wouldn't. Okay, so if you were a young couple doing this trek, you wouldn't be able to do it as easily.
If we were just in our 40s or below, we wouldn't make it.
No,
they wouldn't allow us.
Okay.
The older we are, the better off we are.
Interesting. Wow, hey, that's kind of cool.
It is. And so he sets it up, and then it's time for us to. To go in, and he actually runs an adventure. African Adventure Now is his that's his website.
Oh, so other people could have him set up trips for them?
He actually guides tourists, and he's if anybody wants a good African adventure, you could go to his website, African Adventure Now. His name is John Barreto.
AfricanAdventureNow.com.
And we have actually become his African contact. So anybody interested could contact us, and then we can tell you all about it, what you can expect.
Oh,
and,
cool.
But he is an amazing man, and he can give people the best experience they can possibly have in Africa. So this man is our contact, but for us, he acts in a different capacity. He acts as our contact between us and these tribes, and then he takes us to them. Sometimes he even acts as interpreter, and of course, as our Swahili improves, we need less of that. But he is the contact who gets us in, and then we go in and we live with the tribe. And this is what we'll be doing in November, come back with the photography and the writing and the notes, add that to Adventure Classroom under the heading of Enduring Cultures. And then, of course, John Barreto, our contact, then he goes off and he's guiding tourists, and he'll come back and get us eventually. And if he takes groups of tourists, he has his own vehicles. And he's been doing this since about 1995. He's just an astonishing
man.
We're very, very fortunate to have him as a contact.
Well, if we have time in our schedule, we'll get you back in again before you leave. Maybe just before
that.
The trip would be great. And then we got to get you scheduled right after the trip because we want to be the first to hear everything that happens. We have an in now. I want to thank you both for taking the time to come in. Now, folks, if you want to know more about Helen and Bill's treks and trips, want to know about Adventure Classroom, you can go to their website, which is www.HelenThayer.com, THAYER.com. If you're interested in Adventure Classroom, there's a link there to check that out. Mm-hmm. If you're interested in the African stuff, you can send Helen an email or give her a call if you're interested, because she said that they would be happy to put them in touch with.
Yes, we've become African Adventure Now, or John Barreto's North American contact, so people can contact us and we can give them the full story.
All right, and so that's AfricanAdventureNow.com is that website. Now, we are just about out of here. You want to stay tuned for, are we doing a Maria Manicherry encore presentation? It's a great show. Listen to it. I really enjoy listening to it as I'm driving home. And then you'll find Gary here live, 1 to 2 p.m. for Sports Tangle. And are you all set for your show, Gary? Or is that why you're running around?
No, I'm running around.
He's running around because he's not all set for his show. So tune in at 1 o'clock to see if Gary gets something together for his show or if he's tap dancing. and anyway, Helen and Bill, thank you so much for coming in. We'll look forward to our next visit. Gary, thank you for everything. Scotty, Cat Run Guy, thank you very much. And next week. Well, a missing pet partnership 4th of July follow-up to find out how many pets went missing, how successful they were in getting them back together, and how we can help them find more animals, and how you can get involved, all that good stuff. And then I'm kind of tap dancing without Sandy for the next couple weeks, so it'll be a surprise. But I hope you'll join me here.